You were one of those who uncovered the operations out there at Area 51 a long time ago, weren't you?
Correct. Back in the early 80s, myself and a band of fellow journalists and engineers called the Interceptors, we were the guys that pretty much were the first to shine a serious spotlight on the installation, yes.
Tell me a little bit about how you came about finding out about that place.
I first heard, I grew up as an aircraft and space aficionado. And as a young boy, I always talked to pilots and people within the Air Force, and I was in the Civil Air Patrol. And I knew a couple guys who flew the SR-71. I grew up in Northern California, and Beale Air Force Base is where the SR-71 came out. And back in the late 70s, they told me of this place that was in Nevada that was cosmic. That was the term that they used back then. Then after my time in the military, knowing that the testing facility was there at Groom Lake, I decided to use my talents and find out what was going on there, at least as much as I could. And sure. I could come from the perspective of wanting to find out and eventually fly in the stuff that they have built there.
Did you think at any point, Mark, that there was something out of this world going on there at all? Or did you think it was strictly, confidential military information?
The stories that emanate from the place are both complex and potent and very hard to verify. I know for certain that the United States has built saucer-shaped or lenticular-shaped aircraft and spacecraft. So I also know a few people who have seen such vehicles out there. And I myself have seen particularly one thing that I saw back in 94, a glowing orb flying around the place, but I think that was a result of high-power radars being used, or maybe the firing of a charged particle beam accelerator into the atmosphere. But I know that we've built some very advanced things, and I think a lot of vehicles and systems that we built at Groom Lake could easily be construed as being certainly otherworldly in their performance capabilities. I still leave open the possibility that we have made contact, that that could be a possibility. I don't totally discount it.
Have you had any contacts at all from within that region who has told you, yes, we've got reversed engineered technology, we've had a crashed saucer, we've had aliens, we're hiding some of this here? Has anybody admitted that to you?
Yes, but once again, it's very hard to verify. And also, we know for certain that the CIA used the, during U-2 and A-12 and SR-71 programs, their early times there, they used UFO reports to cover up what was going on there. So I don't put it past certain elements of the government or certain industries that have worked there to use or fabricate, an alien story as some sort of cover. So once again, until they open up the museum at Groom Lake, or until they, let us into the vaults, or the government wants to finally disclose all that it knows, it's very hard to tell what's going on. And though I have had, I've had a couple people tell me some very compelling stories, people who were obviously there working in technical capacities on known human programs who have made such allegations.
Sorry, so, share some of the stories with us. And did you believe in them as individuals, or, did you think, that they were misleading you or pulling your leg?
I know that I have been approached and fed stories that were obvious misinformation, and there were other interceptors who received similar, hints and things that were leaked to them, that I think there were people trying to see what we would do with information. And then there are other people who came with stories that that were very deep in texture. Probably the best one in the end, I don't think it happened, but the great story that the aliens were here, they want our boron, and that we are trading the element boron for technology. and that there was this entire essential these facilities that were built around the United States to take their technology and to introduce it into our own systems, and the aliens got the boron, and there was a shadow government and all that. And they were very, you know, they're great stories. And there was even one of the that story actually with the boron. A friend and I, he was a producer of one of the HARP TV shows that I did back several years ago. We wrote a story for X-Files, which they liked very much, but it would have been so expensive to produce considering the amount of special effects that we would have required for the story that they never went with it. But that was the one that I always look back to as thinking that was the best story. There are other ones that there's one that I certainly believe the guy who was a security person at the nuclear test site, which is right next to Groom Lake, and later he was also a contract security person at Groom Lake in the late 60s who saw three disks there that had no markings, nothing inside that he could tell, though they did smell of ozone, but sort of the smell that you get when arcing electricity is happening around there. And his story, I believe, because I can prove, you know, I've seen his past Q clearance that he had with the DOE and other things like that, and I know he was there, and he's very much a patriot. And I think, you know, as time goes by, and it's usually a span of 10 to 20 years before somebody can really start talking about things. And considering that Groom Lake has been in operation since the mid-50s, and we're just starting to know kind of what went on there in the 70s and early 80s as far as the black aircraft and missile systems, there are still a lot of stories to come from there.
You're a no-nonsense writer. You're a no-nonsense researcher. What does your inner self tell you about the possibilities that we've been visited based on some of the things you think you know and you've been told?
You know, personally, my own sense of and understanding of the cosmos is that life must be everywhere, and I think it's even in our solar system. And I think that will be found out and shown to be true quite quickly, maybe even with the Phoenix lander on Mars here pretty soon. As far as them coming here, I don't have a cosmic inferiority complex as to why any, you know, some people say, you know, why would they come here? We're, you know, just basically apes with atom bombs. You have to look at, I mean, maybe the hallmark of intelligence is curiosity, and that if some beings, you know, who know what they are, what they look like, or what, you know, chemistry they're based on, or any kind of things like that, that, I mean, it is a default position that I think that once you get the intelligence to be able to travel, it doesn't mean that you're going to be nice or merciful or any of those kind of things. So that may be just human concepts themselves, but I think as inherent in intelligence is the desire to know, and there would be no reason why I would think that we don't want to see life and go explore and see what's happening on other planets that other beings wouldn't want to come here and see what we're up to.
Is it possible that if they are visiting us, Mark, they merely want to check in on their offspring?
You never know. Or, you know, I mean, the stories of time travelers, too. I think you know, interdimensional travel as well. I mean, we're finding out more and more within physics and cosmology that may allow time travel both forward and back, that there may be, you know, novel ways of transversing space and time very quickly. So, you know, who knows if they're us or we are them.